Hello and welcome back to I Choose the Road podcast. Oh, well, I've been away for ages again, but between the last episode and this one, we appear to have had a first birthday. So, 12 months, 12 episodes. Let's see if I can keep that up, shall we? Anyway, in this episode, I have got an interview with Lou, who is a traveller living in Glastonbury, talking about the PSPO in Glastonbury and what that means for travellers. First of all, though, it probably hasn't escaped your notice that on the 28th of this month, the policing bill will come into force in the UK. You know, we shouted about it a lot. We did a lot of preparation and now it's here. It remains to be seen how it's going to play out in people's lives, whether people will be able to challenge it in court, whether they will use the full extent of the powers against us. I'll be really interested, come July, to hear from anyone who has any experiences with the policing bill, when it's been used against them, whether they've had any success in challenging it. Any stories that you've heard, let's just keep ourselves aware of what really is going on. And I think it's just important that we all hear as much about where it's being used in what ways around the country, because I think that will help us to build solidarity, to be able to support each other in fighting against its application in our lives. If you're wondering how this act will affect you as a traveller, have a listen or a re-listen to episode one of this podcast, where I speak to lawyer Chris Johnson about all the ins and outs of the legalities of this law. Unfortunately, there weren't any amendments passed in Parliament, so that episode is still absolutely relevant. We speak to Chris again another couple of times during the last year, and he said many times he's up for taking on cases and fighting this act in court. So if there is something like that does come up for you, do get in touch with him. I would remind you again of the Travellers Advice Team, TAT, and their dedicated Gypsy and Traveller Helpline, which is available on 0121 685 8677 between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Monday to Friday. Drive to Survive have also produced a phone number that you can ring for assistance advice. The number is 07903 198 022 or 07840 979 302. You can also contact at drivetosurvive.org.uk. The other thing I'd like to mention is what is happening at the Ridgeway. As we speak, Avebury Parish Council, Wiltshire Council and the National Trust have closed off the Ridgeway for the next month, for this year's summer solstice celebrations. Avebury and the Ridgeway is a very important place in our culture. And ostensibly in reaction to people having a party there last year, they've decided to close it for the month to deny us access to the space to have our traditional summer solstice celebrations. They've gone as far as bringing a low load of tow vehicles away. They've been closing lay-bys and other stopping places in the area. And we've heard that the police have a no-tolerance attitude towards solstice celebrations this year, and they are keen at taking enforcement action. As it stands now, people did leave the Ridgeway voluntarily and have gone to a safe park up nearby. So I guess it remains to be seen what happens as we get nearer and nearer to the time of actual solstice. We'll definitely be coming back to this subject at a later date and looking at ways that we can ensure access with vehicles to the Ridgeway in years to come. So I've been hearing quite a lot about what has been happening in Glastonbury. The town council have been trying to get a lot of people who are living street side off the streets around there. And friend of the podcast, Lou, has been very involved in the campaign against that. So I've invited her onto the podcast to have a little chat with us about what's going on, what are the laws they're using to try and move people on, and what the opposition to that looks like. Hi, Lou, welcome.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me today, or inviting me today.
Hi, so Lou, in Glastonbury, as you told me when we were chatting earlier, they're using something called a PSPO, Public Spaces Protection Order, to try and get people from living in vehicles on the streets in Glastonbury. So can you tell us a bit more about it? What is a PSPO?
Okay, so a public space protection order is an order to prevent antisocial behaviour from happening in a specific area. In the past, it's been used to in Brighton to stop travellers parking in places like Stanmore Park. It's been used against activists in Ealing at the Mary Stops Clinic to stop people from harassing women going for abortions. And now the intention of Mendip Council is to introduce a public space protection order to as a way to deal with the growth of unauthorised encampments in the Glastonbury area.
So when I typed PSPO into Google, it came up with, yeah, some examples like that. It was about stopping people from drinking in town centres and things like that. So it isn't a law that's specifically designed to use against travellers, but Mendip Town Council have decided to employ it to use against travellers.
And actually, the Home Office have actually stated in their guidance that it should not be used against travellers and homeless people, because it's going to make the situation worse. And that it shouldn't be used to target marginalised groups like this, because, and that it should be used as a last resort. Mm-hmm. However, Mendip are using it in a different way to what's been used previously, because as they are going to create an entirely restricted area, which is about approximately a 10-mile radius around Glastonbury and including the entire town of Glastonbury.
Wow.
So yeah, it's quite serious. What the order states, there's a draft order at the moment that may or may not stay the same and has been changed a bit already, but it basically states that if you enter the restricted area of Glastonbury in the 10-mile radius, that you will, if you enter the restricted area with a vehicle, a caravan or a tent, and you intend to reside in any of those vehicles for either temporarily or for a longer period, then you will be automatically committing an offence unless you are able to stay. I mean, originally they were going to put the limit on that you could stay in your caravan from 7 a.m. in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. They've now changed that to being you can stay there in your vehicle for two nights and one day. After that, you will have to leave the restricted area for a period of four consecutive weeks. So you won't be allowed to return in that area and stay in your vehicle overnight, which is surreal. It's not even surreal. It's really, really serious. And it's a real attack on the rights of all nomads. It's not just, although it's being used as a directed at new travellers and van dwellers, the Glastonbury's always had a history of people coming to visit, staying in their vehicles. There's pilgrims, there's tourists, there's festival goers, there's just free campers that want to go and spend a few days in Somerset and hang out and enjoy the Glastonbury vibe, mm-hmm. which in the past has always been a sanctuary for travellers, going back to the days of the Beanfield. And also a place that welcomes an alternative lifestyle and generally thrives on that part of their culture.
So that's actually really massive for a lot of people's daily lives as well. How many people will be displaced by this order?
So over the COVID lockdown, or over the lockdown period, the count of van dwellers and living roadside, not including any travellers parked on private land or at moorlands or any of the other semi-authorised sites, there were 350 travellers or 350 vehicles, which is quite a lot. And most of those roadside dwellers have been parked along housing estates, and there's been a lot of clashes and during the lockdown period as the proportion of van dwellers increased. But now that figure's gone down to over 100, to just over 100 mm-hmm. already. But the question you asked me was, how will this affect people? So many of those people work in the town. So if you're working in a town and you can only stay in that town for two nights and then you have to move away for a month, that means you're going to have a 10-mile journey into town every day. Mm-hmm. You may not have a car if you're just living in a caravan or a tent. There's going to be families who have children who attend the local school, and that's going to make life very difficult for them. People that access health services there. There's a community on on Kennetmore Drove, and there are people there that are, you know, that have health issues, and being part of a community is enabling their health issues to decrease or get better along the way.
Or at least be manageable.
Be manageable by actually, you know, the part of about living in community and having that support network, which is why we're mm-hmm. all on the road anyway, or a lot of us are on the road for anyway. So by removing the ability for a community to part together, then people will lose their natural support. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to have really massive consequences on everybody. And I think about myself, when I first came to Glastonbury, I was living roadside, and during that time I was able to get a workshop, meet the local community, put on events, partake in so much of the Glastonbury town, that if that law had been in action when I came, then none of this would have happened. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be stifling a lot of potential.
So why are Mendip District Council doing this? What is their motivation, and why now?
Okay, so during lockdown, as I said before, the population of van dwellers and travellers staying and residing in Glastonbury in their vehicles increased. Unlike other towns and cities like Bristol, Mendip provided no safe space for van dwellers and travellers during the lockdown period, but they decided not to evict anybody. So in some respects that was great, nobody had to go for eviction, which was government policy, but what that meant was there was a build-up of problems between the van dwellers and the local people. You know, there was
are the van dwellers not some counted as local people then?
Well, some of it actually, I mean, the whole thing is it's a huge, it's not just one simple thing. I mean, many of the people that were living in the vans during lockdown were young local people who couldn't afford to get housing because it, you know, there's tourist prices that are going on there. Nobody can get benefits before they're 25 to pay for housing, so getting a caravan and living on the roadside was a lot easier than mm-hmm. being homeless, you know. You've got all people that are living in vehicles for many reasons, you know, economic reasons, because they're homeless and it's better than being on the street, because they like to be near nature or they want the community. And one of the things that Mendip are saying is that you need to have a local connection to be in that area, and that if you don't have a local connection, that you will be sent back to where you come from.
What, so is that part of the PSPO?
That's not part of the PSPO, but it's mentioned in their guidance as to how it would be, of what would happen, you know, that they want to... they're saying that that Glastonbury cannot support the amount of people that are coming there. I mean, one of their lawyers has said that Glastonbury is viewed as a soft touch, and that's why people are coming. I think the main reason why people come to Glastonbury is because there is such an open culture where we are accepted and we're not judged in the same way as many parts of the country. It feels a lot safer.
I mean, Glastonbury is like well known as an area with a lot of people living with an alternative culture, alternative ways of living. And it feels like Glastonbury as a town not to be embracing that, because that's part of its identity, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. It's the whole character of Glastonbury is based on on a hippie culture, really. You know, and you have to walk down the high street to see who's there and who the type of shops that are there, and the vehicles are part of that. But obviously, you know, there are we're not going to deny that there are problems. Nobody really wants to live on a street with their whole life in view of, like, you know, people want to be on a bit of land somewhere, or maybe somewhere that's a bit more private, you know, so that you can have that safeness, you know, that site provides, you know. So there have been issues, and obviously the lockdown period just made everything, exacerbated everything even more so, because people weren't moving on as they would do normally. You know, this year, festival season, many people have left already, you know, and gone on the road again because the country's opened up. Whereas last year, people weren't going anywhere because there was nowhere to go, you know, and it's like one of the councillors said, it's a really premature action by Mendip to bring this law in, or this public order in, before people have had an opportunity to just move on naturally.
It seems to me like if you've got a job in the local area, or your children are in school in the local area, or you're involved in other activities, and that makes you a local person. Like, there's so many people, you know, in these days, people don't live where they come from, even if they're living in houses. You can't, and no one would be turning around and going, oh, well, you know, you're not from around here, so you have to move out of that house.
Exactly, you know, we are living in a global world, you know, people move, and also, just because, you know, Glastonbury is a really, really special place, that is, you know, that specialness shouldn't just be for the people that live there. If you looked at the residents that live in Glastonbury, probably 60% of those people have moved there from other places because they like it. You know, it shouldn't just be rich people that are allowed to move there and buy houses and properties. You know, this is somewhere that pilgrims come because of its speciality, special place, its specialness, you know, sacredness of Glastonbury Tour and all its history, and travellers have been coming there for forever, I imagine. You know, it's you know, the people have been travelling to Glastonbury before there were even roads, when it was an island. You know, there's loads of stories about that. So
are Glastonbury the only council who's using a PSPO against travellers?
I have heard that Exeter is also using a PSPO against travellers, and also Southampton is also intending to bring it in. But I'm not aware of the exact nuances of how they're intending to bring it in. But what I feel is that this is going to be used hand in hand with the Police Crime Courts and Sentencing Bill, and it will be... I'm not sure how they'll do this, but it seems like a double-headed sword that they will use against us, you know.
They did do a consultation about this, but it was very, very short, as I understand it.
Okay, so the public consultation was released on February the 18th this year, and February the 8th this year, and it had to be closed. It closed on March the 20th. It was a 6-week consultation. We only really found out about it at the end of February, realising the seriousness of it. It was, you know, the Mendip District Council basically just advertised it on their website, in the local paper, and didn't really put the information out to the people, as the councils never do. We have written, as a group, we have written to the council and asked them to extend the time period of the consultation, because we felt that it wasn't sufficient considering such an important issue, and government guidelines for carrying out a public consultation say that a consultation could be up to 12 weeks or even longer if the issue is serious enough. But one of the other things is that you cannot hold a consultation in the period preceding a general or local election, and so this period prior to the local election started on March the 21st. So they're justifying the fact it's a short period for the consultation as it needs to be done by them because of the elections, which isn't really fair. Mm. I mean, there is the opportunity to challenge this if they do make a decision to go for the public space protection order. Then we have 6 weeks to make a challenge to the Supreme Courts, which we will do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many reasons why this consultation is kind of inept, really. I went to a town council meeting in Glastonbury town, and they had been asked to complete the consultation as a council. They mm-hmm. also had the opportunity to complete it as individuals, but they were putting together a unified response from the council. So Glastonbury town council consists of a number of Green councillors, a number of Tory councillors, and a couple of independent councillors. And one thing that they all agreed on was that at different points that the consultation was not fit for purpose. The first question is really biased towards a negative answer. The first question was, have you had any negative experiences from unauthorised encampments, and how have they affected your life?
But so, there wasn't a corresponding what about positive experiences?
There wasn't a corresponding what about positive experiences. But you know, the only way you can answer that truthfully is yes, because actually everybody's had a negative experience about an unauthorised encampment at some point in their experience, because that's just human nature. One of the councillors said, "I've also had negative experiences with bricks and mortar dwellers, or every time I go into the local pub, or you know, it's so weighted in a way to make this a negative outcome." Councillors said, you know, the whole focus on the paper was discriminatory. I mean, it was really interesting watching them try to answer these questions fairly, because they were just such a badly designed consultation. Right. In the same way that the Police Crime Courts and Sentencing Bill consultation was as well. You know, like they're not done. They want to get the answer that they want. In Glastonbury, we had a bit of a fortnight campaign, letting people know about the consultation, getting people to fill in the consultation form, speaking to all the local residents, reminding them about this. But you know, there wasn't enough time. But in some respects, that will add to our campaign to challenge it, because there wasn't enough time, mm-hmm. and there are many, many people that wanted to say this was not acceptable.
So I guess that kind of leads me on to a question that I've been wanting to ask, which is, what are the travellers of Glastonbury and other, you know, allies doing in response to the prospect of this order coming in?
So there's been a group of us that have been gathering together. Obviously there is a large traveller community in Glastonbury, a lot of van dwellers who are distraught. They're realising, you know, the seriousness of this, and not sure what to do at all. There's also a lot of support from local residents. Many of the people there have come from a travelling background or mm-hmm. a festival community, and so they've got a lot of understanding and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've met on a number of occasions. We first of all started a campaign to let people know what was happening. We've designed a draft letter for local businesses to fill in, which basically just states, "I'm against this order because it will affect my business financially," and then we've given them a number of options of how it could affect them, mm-hmm. such as, "My staff are van dwellers," or "My customers are van dwellers," or my traders are, you know, that kind of thing. And so local businesses have been completing that form, because obviously it's the financial side that's going to impact on mm-hmm. on the people, on the council's decision. We've also been reminding the house dwellers, the bricks and mortar dwellers in Glastonbury, that it's not just the van dwellers and the travellers that will be affected by this. You know, if you have friends or family that come to stay with you and they live in a vehicle, they won't be able to stay in their vehicle mm-hmm. overnight. Perhaps there are people that have carers that come and live in, come and stay and support them, but they live in their vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. We've reminded them that actually going free camping for a long weekend in the Mendips is going to be an issue if this comes into place. And one of the other things is what the people have asked about, how it's going to be enforced. One of the Green councillors is calling for an increase in policing in the town, and so is this becoming like a police state in Glastonbury? Because one of the other parts of the draft order, it states that a new offence is being created where if you do not show your identity or your vehicle documents if asked in relation to the PSPO, then you will be committing an offence. Now that's not even part of British law, but you know, the
Wow, that is pretty full-on stuff, actually, isn't it?
It's really full-on. You know, that that anybody who's in authority will have the right to ask you for your ID, and
even when you're just on foot, not when you're driving.
You just could be stood outside doing your washing up by your caravan, and they come along to check. You know, right? Well, you need your name and address because this is, you know, we need to know not name and address, but your details because. We believe you we need to check that you're here for the time and not breaking the public space protection order. If you say no, I'm not giving you my name, then you're committing an offence, and so you could be given a fine or
That's not even in British law. I mean, you're obviously obliged if you're driving, but you're not if you're not, are you?
No, or if you're a passenger or anything, you know. But it's intimidation and it's harassment and it's further evidence gathering about people that aren't necessarily going to be on the radar.
And criminalising, as you said yourself, and criminalising minority ways of living.
Yeah.
Which are a big thing around that area.
Once again, actually, on that point, if you are breaking a public space protection order, it's a £100 fine. If you continue to ignore the public space protection order, you can get another £100 fine. And then if you still don't do what you're told, then they have the right to take away your vehicles and your associated property. And then also there will still be the power to evict you. So the idea of this is that the public space protection order is being sold to the Glastonbury townspeople, that it will save money on evictions and other kind of enforcement actions. But actually, it will end up costing the taxpayer money still. There will still be evictions because people always come back there, and people aren't going to be happy about this. You know, everybody has a right to park in nature. And in these places, so long as they're respecting their environment.
So this is a bit of a tricky part of what I wanted to ask you, but I'm just wondering about us looking at our own shadow, because although this order is obviously very discriminatory and will displace a lot of people, and a lot of it comes from places that I don't agree with, I also don't believe that always as travellers our behaviour is like perfect, and there may be ways that we can look at our own behaviour that would make us potentially more welcome. I know this is like it's a tricky point, but this isn't about propaganda. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not trying to sell ourselves as a lifestyle for someone else, we're just trying to discuss our own shit.
You know, I don't want to sit there and say, oh no, we're not good enough or we're this or whatever, but actually we do need to start talking about this, and we do need to, you know, that's the whole thing from Castle Morton, wasn't it? You know, the only thing they could do anybody about was human shit. That was the only thing they got taken to court on.
Okay.
And they had to have this whole fucking court case about fucking ravers, fucking shit, you know, which, you know, and they could have gone to prison for that, I think, at the point, you know, like... Okay, so in 2020, Mendip Council commissioned a survey that was carried out by a couple of van dwellers to find out what the local travellers needed. And there was lots of meetings with local travellers to get this survey prepared. And the people that carried out the survey went to a lot of the van dwellers in the area that were on the side of the road and to local residents. And this survey's actually been used against the travellers. Instead of finding out what we needed, it's now being used as evidence for why a public space protection order is needed in the first place. And so, obviously, one of the questions they asked was about any antisocial behaviour that was witnessed. So this includes things like noise, litter and fly tipping, defecation or not burying your shit, damage to the land, obstruction of highways and obstruction of access to private property. You know, we all know what it's like having a NIMBY or some annoying redneck who just complains about every little thing you do. But considering that during lockdown the councils did bring toilets for all the unauthorised encampments in the area, there were still people shitting on the side of the road, which we all know how horrible it is when we have people come and stay on site, or when you're at a party and on your land and somebody's not buried their shit. You know, it's understandable people are going to get be upset. For me, a lot of the antisocial behaviour that happened on the roadside is a lot to do with the lockdown stress, you know, fighting and the drugs and alcohol openly on open display. It's not really very wise, but I think that, you know, lockdown, we saw an increase in drug and alcohol use, domestic violence and abuse in every aspect of society. But luckily the house dwellers were able to just do it all behind closed doors, whereas the people living roadside were in full view. And also rubbish, you know, when people are living in chaos, they've not got a stable place, or even if you've got stuff going on in your life, then you know, we all create rubbish and we have to deal with it, you know. But to the general public, if they're seeing like cans of beer just like littered by the side of caravans and you know, bits of plastic rubbish, and as we all know, when we live outside, if you create a lot of rubbish, then you're going to get rats. So yeah, that hasn't helped the situation, which is really sad. I mean, there was the unauthorised encampment on Bridie's Mound, which probably at its peak homed about 50 travellers. At the end, loads of people left a lot of rubbish and shit up there, and then wondered why people were pissed off when like there was only 7 people left who were unable to deal with the amount of stuff, you know, old sofas, carpet tiles to make the floors you know, less muddy, cuddly toys, all of that kind of stuff that people bring back to site and then just leave when they get evicted. And so the townsfolk have been left clearing up Bridie's Mound, which was never an unused place. It was always a place that the whole town used and walked through, but actually didn't complain when travellers and van dwellers moved on there. They allowed the community to be there because they knew that they needed somewhere during the lockdown to be a bit safer, but the way it was left was just shocking, you know?
I mean, it is really hard to take everything sometimes, especially if something's been there for a while. And like you say, if there's things like sofas and you're left and you don't have a vehicle you can transport that in, that is really hard. And I do understand that kind of, well, the council are just going to come and sort it out anyway because they've been the one who's evicted us. But then it does leave that sort of gap where, you know, we've left loads of shit everywhere. And if it's not actually your own shit, you can tidy up all your own rubbish, but you don't have the capacity for one reason or another to tidy up someone else's. But they've left earlier, so they didn't really see what their rubbish was like. It is a tricky one. And when I've like been evicted from sites, I've been amazed at how long it's taken us to clear up and how, you know, and you know, sometimes not actually being able to do it all because it can be a lot, can't it?
I mean, for me, like, the council haven't cleaned any of it up. They've left it there, kind of, you know, it contributes to the negative feelings about travellers especially during this time of the police crime courts and sentencing bill, and also to enable them to create this kind of negative sentiment directed at the new travellers and the van dwellers. You know, like, there's still mountains of rubbish. The local people are organising a litter pick every fortnight, but this was going on in October. It's now March. There's still a mountain of rubbish there that you know, people that never lived there are trying to deal with because they want their land back, the community land back. And that's so upsetting when so many of us do make attempts to make our homes tidier. On West Kennet Moor Drive, which is just off Cinnamon Lane, like, the community there have created beautiful gardens. They're really on it with the rubbish. I mean, there are people that go down there and complain. I mean, there's one woman that complains that every time she walks her dog down there, it eats crack it finds on the floor. And she makes these complaints. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, that there are these people that are just making these stupid stories up just to cause, like, tension and upset. And that's what we've got to deal with when we're dealing with, like, this moral panic, that this idea to create, like, you know, us as demons. And we've got to do the best we can, that's all, you know. And we've got to support other people that are struggling,
because, and educate each other about people who are new to living on the road, about burying their shit and about but also, you know, as you made the point earlier on, these antisocial behaviours aren't limited to travellers. They're just more obvious when it's travellers. And if you've got an old sofa and you live in a house, you can leave it out the front and the council will come take it away. Mm-hmm. Or someone else will come and take it away. They probably could take it down the local traveller site and then it will get left there. So it isn't necessarily moral failings, but it is a shadow that we need to look to and try and be on, you know, be aware of.
I mean, with the Bridie's Man, with that area, there was a lot of new young people that were moving into caravans, and in any other year when there was no lockdown, they would have gone off naturally to the festivals and then they would have learned how to move. As we do learn, the more often you move, the more you get good at it, and they would have met other people that would have taught them the different skills that they need. But we all know what it's like if you're staying in one place. Sometimes it's easy to get stagnant, and especially if you've never done that before. So as you say, it's not a criticism. It's just at the moment we're under so much attack from all sides that I guess as travellers we need to step up. And you know, and one of my neighbours said, you know, I'm totally against this public space protection order, but I can't stand up for people that are shitting in the street. That's it, you know. It's education.
You've outlined quite a lot about of the quite shocking elements of this draft order. I just wonder, as a final question, Lou, do you think they're actually going to be able to pass it? Do you think it's going to get through? Like, you know, a year ago, I would have gone, well, that's not going to go through. That goes against loads of human rights. That's really out of order. But obviously now, with the passing of the PCSCB, it feels like anything is possible.
It's really hard to say. I mean, I personally think that this whole thing is just so discriminatory and racist and just inept. It's that it can't go through. I think that Glastonbury is a town that will challenge it, you know, from, you know, the local people are up in arms about it. However, there is also a huge population of like, you know, straight people. Those are the people that want something done. A lot of them have said they just want something done. They'd like a bit of land being given to people. They just don't want people, you know, the whole streets to be full of travellers. And actually, what the problem is that the local parking, the traditional parking places, have had rocks put in front of them. The lay-bys are all kind of closed down. It's the same story. I think that there are so many people fighting this public space protection order that it won't go ahead, but it's going to be very, very difficult. It's got to be a consistent effort to stop it.
Is it permanent once it happens, or does it have a time limit?
It's a 3-year time limit. However, we just need to stop it before it happens, because it will change things. I mean, the people of Glastonbury, you know, there are support when people have faced eviction before. There are people that will come down and witness and legal observe to stop that happening, or it has happened in the past. But yeah, it's difficult because, we've got this rise of fascism coming, or totalitarian coming at us, and this is another attack on travellers. And it feels, because Glastonbury is such a special place, it's the heart centre of the world, you know, and a lot of things radiate out from here, and it feels like this is maybe where they want to take their stand on travellers and van dwellers, and start off here with this public space protection order, and then it's going to ripple out with the police crime courts and sentencing bill and the trespass laws. Because once you move people out of one area, then are they going to, if they haven't got a public PSPO there, then they're going to be using the anti-trespass laws, and then people are going to be moving on again, and then there'll be the exhaustion, and
they won't have local connections and the things
and so we need to stop it. It's as simple as that. It's really unjust. It's really draconian.
Thanks so much, Lou, for coming on the show and telling us all about that. It's really useful for us all to keep up to speed with all of these legal assaults on our lifestyle, I suppose.
Yeah, because it feels that if they bring this in here, that it's not going to stop. It's going to come out all around the country.
As the eagle-eared amongst you may have noticed, this interview was actually conducted back in March. Since then, the PSPO in Glastonbury has gone on the back burner due to there no longer being a Tory council in power. However, it's not gone. It is just on the back burner. And it is an order that may well be getting used in other parts of the country, so I feel like this information is still relevant and useful. And that brings us to the end of episode 12 of I Choose the Road podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with me if you've been here all year. I said at the very first episode, and I'll just say it again, I would just love it if anyone has got any ideas for podcasts, for people who I should interview. If anyone wants to make an episode, co-host an episode with me, any stories that you think are really important to tell. People have got in touch with me over this year, and some of the things that we've done have come out of it. And I'm always excited to hear people's stories and to give people a chance for their voices to be heard. So do get in touch. You can find me on Facebook, I Choose the Road Podcast, on Instagram, or you can email at ichoosetheroad@yahoo.co.uk.
I don't ask for riches to furnish my days, when I've got the dawn and the soft evening haze. I choose the road, not for me, a life of being born to be sold. The green hills in the distance are calling me home. Not for me, a life of being born to be sold under the open sky.